On this 21st day of July 2011 in Winnipeg, Canada, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, and text number 23. Madashaya katam nishta.
Madashaya katam nishta.
Shrinvanti katayanti cha.
Shrinvanti katayanti cha.
Tapanti vividhasthapa.
Tapanti vividhasthapa.
Naitan man katachetasaha.
Naitan man katachetasaha.
Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Purport. There are multifarious miseries in material existence, those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions, because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness, and thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord, Bhachamsi Vaikuntha Gunan Uvarnane, Bhagavatam 9.4.18. He engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this is one of the many verses that we have describing the wonders of absorbing the mind in Krishna Katha. In context, we find that this is the Sadhu Sangashtaka, that our attachment is very strong. Pasangam madanam pasham atmanakabhyogadu. So the attachments for this world are like these strong ropes. Sometimes they're said to be like knots in the heart, like grunty. And those knots need to be cut or transferred. In other words, we have to be attached to something. And the very first verse of this series says that we have to transfer that attachment to the sadhus. Who are the sadhus? That's described in the next two verses. Those who are tolerant, tatikshava, kadanka, merciful, friend of all. They don't have any enmity toward anyone. They're absorbed in the scripture. That's also mentioned. Next verse, They're very firm devotees of me, one-pointed, pure devotees. So ananyena bhavena means without any other consciousness. Krishna uses this word, ananyasthintayantomam, all the time. Because our minds are very flickering. They're always going here and there, here and there. Yoga means to control the mind and the senses and fix it on the Supreme. So, getting control of that mind is the real sadhana, the method for doing it. So the association with sadhus, as Srila Prabhupada explains, the sadhus are going to give you the process for bhakti. And that process includes all of these steps, the do's and the don'ts, the vidhis, or instructions, by which one can gradually withdraw the mind from matter and place it on Krishna and control the mind from its flickering nature. So that's this is the perfection. The sadhus have that, maya nanyena bhavana bhaktim kurvanti yedridham, with great determination. Their mind is fixed. Thinking, feeling and willing, all those elements of the mind are focused on Krishna. And therefore they give up activities not conducive to Krishna consciousness and even any attachments to friends or family that may be impediments to that service. Okay, so what do? They absorb themselves in Krishna Katha. We can see by Prabhupada's life that all he did when he came to America and beforehand, but we know directly from seeing his activities from 1965 to 1977, he was simply speaking about Krishna. And from morning till night, he'd get up in the middle of the night, he would dictate his purports, he would meet with the devotees, he would counsel them, he would give classes, he would walk morning walks, darshans. What was he doing? Speaking about Krishna. And by speaking about Krishna, of course, he's also hearing. And when he's doing the books, he's also studying. He's reading the purports, the commentaries of the acharyas, the text of the Bhagavatam, and other books, Chaitanya Charitam. So completely, just like that. Marashaya katha mishta. Now it's interesting that this word ashaya is used here in relation to the sounds. The sounds have taken shelter of me. You know, it's kind of an interesting... the katha is completely under the shelter of Krishna. In other words, it's only concerned and only dealing with Krishna's activities, his instructions, how he creates, his devotees, all the unlimited subject matters having to do directly with Krishna. And these topics are mrishta. Mrishta means delightful, very sweet. And by it's that sweetness of Krishna originally, as expressed through sound, which is our prime connection with Krishna in this world, that it charms the mind and takes the mind away from the absorption in matter. And cuts those attachments. The attachments become weaker and weaker for matter, for material things, and ultimately they wither away and die. That's the idea. And by doing that, even the material miseries are not so prominent. It's not that you don't feel them, but your mind is elsewhere and they become less impinging. We could see that amazingly in Srila Prabhupada in his last days. He was lying in Vrindavan. He wasn't eating, wasn't drinking. The doctor said it's amazing that he's still in his body. And yet he would meet with devotees, he would talk with them. He was able to transcend this, you know, suffering that we normally feel, physical suffering, because his mind is so absorbed. Even on the material level, you find if the mind is absorbed in something greatly, then you won't feel, like on the war field or on the battlefield. If you get an injury, and it's not life-threatening or anything, and you can still function, you may not even feel it. Oh my God, I'm injured. Because you're so absorbed in what you're doing. You know, what to speak of if you can become completely absorbed in the most attractive and or all-absorbing subject matter of Krishna consciousness. So this is the value of sadhu sangha, as will be explained in a few verses, that there, by associating with them, you get this a taste for Krishna Katha. Perfect example is Narada Muni. In his previous life, you know the story, he tells it to Vyasadeva in the first canto, how he was just a simple orphan. He was had a single mother, he had, you know, a parent, and he's living there, it's just the two of them, very simply. She's a maidservant, you know, and he's like 5 years old boy trying to help his mother. You know, but she's pious, and when the 4 months of the rainy season come, she opens her humble abode for sages and saints who are traveling. This is what they do. They travel around, and then when those 4 months come, you can't travel, it's too rainy, and so they take shelter somewhere. So they took shelter of her cottage or whatever it was. So what are they going to do? You know, they're simply going to hear and chant, glorify the Lord all the time, take a little prasad, you know. So Narada Muni got a chance to hear that, and also served them the prasad, and with their permission, as he said, took their remnants. And in doing that, he became purified, got a real taste for the hearing and chanting. And then, you know, it took him another birth to become Narada Muni. But when his mother died by the providence, she was bitten by a snake, he's all alone. So now what to do? You know, try to find child services, Aunt Millie's, live with... No, he just went off. He went and started walking. You know, and thinking of Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. And describes how he sat down in meditation, and Krishna disappeared from his heart. He was stunned, couldn't meditate on him. His heart opened his eyes, and he hears him speak. That I disappeared from your heart just to make you more attached to me. You won't see me again in this lifetime, but in your next birth you'll be Narada Muni. So he became the son of Brahma in the next day of Brahma, and the Narada Muni we know, who appears in every canto. Of all the Mahajans, he's the most prominent in terms of the instructions that they give in the Bhagavatam. You'll find every single canto he appears in a wonderful way. And he's a Shaktyavesh avatar, means that he's especially empowered to do one thing very well. And the one thing that he does really very well is to impart bhakti. So he has the bhakti shakti. And he doesn't stay very long. You'll notice he gives these instructions just suitable for the recipient, and then he's off and his travels throughout the universe. So this is Narada Muni. He's a very wonderful member of our sampradaya. So what's happening here is that the devotees are enjoying, like anything, this Krishna Katha. If you want to read the standard of that, you can read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again and again, we find Lord Chaitanya with his intimate associates just relishing this Krishna Katha. Now, we should never forget that the Krishna Katha begins with the holy name. When we hear and chant, that's called kirtan, sankirtan, back and forth. That's the basis of it all. And it's really complete in and of itself. Everything is there. But the devotees' nature is that they always want more. This kind of greed is good. The greed for more Krishna Katha, more service, more kirtan, more everything relating to Krishna. Because that greed will destroy any greed for anything material. And so you find Lord Chaitanya, they wouldn't sleep. You know, they would meet with Ramananda Roy and Subhadamadhar, and they would stay up all night. And, you know, describes they were just relishing all of these intricate little, you know, rasas and in relation to Radha and Krishna. And morning would come, you know, and Lord Chaitanya would do his morning duties, you know, bathing and everything. But the whole night would go, you know. Not only do the material miseries not impinge upon you, but the ordinary time and space, you know, they disappear. So this is the blessings of the sadhu. Now, on the other side, this brings up another ashtaka that I discovered in Bhagavatam, the Krishna Katashtaka. And that's at the very end, in the 12th canto. Sudha Goswami is speaking. This is practically his last instruction before he gets up and goes, because he's speaking this Bhagavatam to the sages in Naimisharanya. And he's recalling what he heard when Shukadeva spoke with the Parikit on the bank of the Ganges earlier. So the whole Bhagavatam is spoken by Sutta. Of course, there's a lot of quotes within quotes. So we hear Maitreya Muni, we hear the four Kumaras speaking, some of you are speaking. But Shukadeva's Sutta is quoting them all. So at the end, he's speaking as himself, and he has this whole Ashtaka, 8 verses. Again, it has a complete unit, you know. It's wonderful. On the glories of hearing, Krishna Katha. So in that Ashtaka, he has perhaps in the whole Bhagavatam the greatest description of the qualities of Krishna Katha and how they can help us. So he begins with Sankirtimana Bhagavan Ananta Shutana Baba Vasanam Hipunsam Pravishchitam Vidanotisham Yadatamoko Bhamivati Bhata. That's the first verse. It begins with the word Sankirtan. You can see how Lord Chaitanya based his whole Sankirtan movement on the Bhagavatam. So Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta, Shutana Baba, one who hears and chants, but this is just emphasizing hearing the great powerful activities of the unlimited Lord, Bhagavan Ananta, the unlimited Bhagavan. Then it describes that the Lord enters in his heart, Pravishya Chittam, Vidunotyashesham, and cleanses away, just as he says in the first canon, all of the Vyasanam. Vyasanam is the difficulties that come from bad association. Sangha dosha, which will be mentioned in the next verse. So all your the suffering, the anxieties, all of the 8 enemies, lust, anger, greed, illusion, these are all cleansed away by Krishna when he enters the heart. Now we know that he's always in the heart, but he becomes manifest in the sense that you feel his presence, you can feel the purification. Just as when the sun rises, all the darkness is dissipated, or a powerful wind will blow away a fog. You see, this is the analogy. So then he goes back. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, we find that these points are made through contrast. It's like Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita. If you follow this cycle of sacrifice, you know, then you'll be exalted. But if you fail to do so, out of envy, then you'll be destroyed. You know, this is how you make a picture by contrast, right? So similarly, Sutta Gandhan says, "Mishagadasta yasati asakata nakatta dehi bhagavan adhokshaja." That kata, which does not deal with adhokshaja, is false and unreal and temporary and useless. That's the first line. And then he has these six lines describing the Krishna kata. Tadeva satyam, tadohaiva mangalam, tadeva punyam, bhagavad ghanodayam, tadeva ramyam, ruchiram, nabang nabam, tadeva shasvam, manaso mahotsavam, tadeva shokar, nabashoshanang nanan, yaduttama shloka yasho anugiyate. So he's saying there that, on the other hand, tadeva satyam, those words which glorify adhokshaja, the one transcendental Lord, are true. This is where the real truth lies. And they are very auspicious. Mangalam. We have Mangalarti. It's auspicious to come to Mangalarti, glorify the Guru. Tadeva satyam, tadohaiva mangalam, tadeva punyam. So punya means just by hearing and chanting, you become pious. You amass heaps of pious credits, as Prabhupada would say. Tadeva punyam, bhagavad gunodayam. Now, bhagavad gunodayam has different meanings, but the meaning the acharyas give it, many of the acharyas, is that it gives rise to the divine qualities in us. The Bhagavan's qualities, we have at least the first 50. There's 64 qualities that Rupa Goswami delineates in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the first 50 we also possess to some degree. Beauty, skill in speaking, cleanliness, heroism, all these different things. So whatever qualities we can manifest, they become awakened by absorbing ourselves in Krishna Gata. In other words, your divine nature is awakened. Bhagavad Guna Udayam. And then Tadeva Ramyam, very delightful, Ruchiram, tasty, and Nabang Nabang, ever fresh. Prabhupada would point out, you can read the Bhagavad Gita 6 times a day, and you'll always find new realizations. You try to read some other things, it becomes dry. You know, you can't do it. So it's nabang nabang. Tadeva shashvam, I love this one. Tadeva shashvam, manaso, mahotsavam. An eternal festival for the mind. Tadeva shashvam, manaso, mahotsavam. Tadeva shokarnava shoshanang nanan. For all human beings, it dries up the ocean of lamentation. So this is what is being spoken of here. In association with the sadhus, you get this Krishna kata. And if you cultivate it, you also get the taste for that. Now, on the other hand, let's look at the other side. I like this verse from the, I think it's the description of the kingdom of God in the third canto. So it describes there, I think it's the, is it Kumara speaking? No, Kumaras aren't speaking. They're part of the action. They go up there and they're stopped from entering by Jaya and Vijaya. But anyway, it's a description of the kingdom of God, and then it's describing who goes and who doesn't get to go there. So of course the devotees go there, you know, those who are pure or absorbed in Krishna. Who doesn't get to go there? This is what this verse is about. Yanna vajant agabado vachananavada chindvandiyenya vishayaku kutama tigni yastu shuta hatabagayada badata saras tang tang chapant asadaneshu tamoksu hanta. Yeah. So, what it says there, those who listen to other kind of talk, rachayanti means a something that's constructed, or something that's fashioned. So these words are all fashioned, whether they're mundane or they're transcendental. Somebody has written sentences or written poetry. So they're, yanna vajant, they don't go. Here's the ones who do not go to the kingdom of God. Agabidho, where lives the Krishna, the destroyer of all sin. So yanna vajanagabado vachananavada chinvandiye anya vishaya. Vishaya here means subjects. So these subjects is unlimited ones. As Sukadeva says at the very beginning of second canto, He says, Shrotavyadi Niran Santi Sahasrasha. Those who are not devotees have unlimited subjects for talking and thinking. Just get on the internet. You know, billion hits for every subject you want to find. You can get lost in there. So, there's also a lot of Krishna Gita there. So, then what happens? Vachananubhara. Other words, then what happens? Agarbador Vachananubhara Chinman Evashaya Kukata. This is not Krishna, this is Kukata. Kuk means bad. Matignihi, which destroys your intelligence. Yasta Shuta Hata Baghaya. Such souls are, all of their good fortune has been taken away. Yasa Shuta Hata Baghaya Nibir Atasaras. Atasaras, you know, sada is the essence of life. Bhagavatam is sadam, sadam, bade, bade. At every step, it gives you the creme de la creme of the essence of life, the essence of being. So here it says, atasaras, that essence is taken away. In other words, you lose sight of it. And tang tang tapunt, those topics throw you down. Tang tang tapunt, ashadaneshu tamaksahunta. Alas. Tapunti, tang tang chapunti, ashadaneshu, without shelter. This kata is our shelter. These books are our shelter for our mind. The mind is looking for some place to get absorbed in. And if it's not going to be absorbed in this subject, it'll be absorbed in material things. There's no other choice. So that we have no shelter. The mind has no real shelter. It's self-destructive. And tamaksu in darkness. So this is the alternative. And we're given the opportunity to associate with sadhus, as I like to point out, by just opening one of these books you're associating with Srila Prabhupada. In the way that he wanted to be associated with most, which is hearing. Just hear me, you know. And Krishna says, Tat Chunu, at the beginning of 7th chapter, you know, now I'm going to tell you, Arjuna, how your mind can be attached to me. Maya Sakta Manaparta, Yogam, the process of yoga. Madashriya, by taking shelter of me or taking shelter of one who is taking shelter of me, the sadhus. Madashriya. Maya sakta manaparta yogam yunjan manashi asangshiyam samagrama. Without doubt, all your doubts will be lost. Samagrama yata gyasasi tachanua. Knowing this, your doubts will be destroyed. Now just hear me. That hearing is the key, and that's what's being mentioned here. So what a wonderful thing. Now, Devahuti has approached Kapila Dev in the mood of a conditioned soul. And she's complaining that all the threefold miseries are giving me so much trouble. You know, and I don't know what to do. Now you are my axe for cutting down this tree of material life. Please construct me. That was her rumor. So therefore he's talking about the sufferings here. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So let's just review these threefold miseries. This is part of what self-realization is all about. We have to be very dear. We have to be very thoughtful about our life. Because Maya is very strong. She bewilders us so that we forget the real situation, and we simply take it for granted that, well, tomorrow will be pretty much like today. You know, today wasn't so bad. You know, and tomorrow will be pretty much. But eventually there comes a day when utter disaster comes in everybody's life. You know, sooner or later, and along the way we have to fend off these miseries. Right, so let's run through them again. Just a part of the nectar of Krishna Gita. So Prabhupada, he describes him. Adiatmak, adibhautak, adidaivik. So adidaivik, we've been having a heat wave. I've been reading the news, much worse down in America. Hundred degree days, which is what, 40? You know, it's centigrade, you know, when it gets really up there. Above that, because of the high humidity, some people died. You know, old people, they don't have air conditioning. You know, this is adidaivik misery. Everyone's going along. Things are pretty good, you know. All right, I have some troubles, but and then something happens that is makes it much worse. So this is called adidaivik. It comes in many forms: heat, cold, snow, rain, too much rain, flooding, not enough rain, drought. You've got hurricanes. You've got tornadoes in my area. You've got earthquakes. Perfect weather in San Diego, and we've had earthquakes. We felt the ground move, you know. The big one hasn't come yet, but it may come any time. It's perfect analogy. We live, you know, we have how many millions of people? You know, 20 million people living in Southern California. And everyone knows, yes, the big one can come. But no one lives their life, you know, thinking that at any moment it's going to come. You can't live your life like that. So you forget. This is a super soul. If you want to forget, he gives. Matak smriti gyanam apomanancha. You know, so you can go on. But that forgetfulness and that illusion and that Pollyanna, you know, is like the old ostrich. You know, the lion's running at him and he says, oh my God, and he puts his head in the sand. I don't have to see the lion. But that doesn't protect him. So similarly, we need to awaken and really see life for what it is. So these being aware of these threefold miseries is part of it. It gives us the urgency for practice. Otherwise, Maya is telling us to take it easy. We don't have to be so serious. So there's the adi-daivik, and if, okay, no adi-daivik right now, everything is pretty cool, temperature is not too hot, not too cold, there's no earthquakes, there's no floods. Still, you've got two others, adi-atmic and adi-bautic. So the adi-atmic is just your own body and mind. Now, when you're young, generally your body and mind are just a source of pleasure, you're discovering so many things, right? Not too bad. Of course, you may stub your toe or cut yourself or even break a limb and then you have to go to the hospital and wear a cast, you know. So you get a little taste of it. It comes. But as you get older and older and older, it doesn't stop. Those become more prominent. There, you know, when you're a kid or young, you know, you get sick, you get better. You know, if you get something, you'll get healed and you'll be back to normal and be perfect again. But when you get older, you get things that don't get better. You know, oh, this isn't getting better. You know, now I got this condition, whatever it may be. There's a list of 1,000 different diseases. Sometimes, you know, when you take a medical course or something and you read about those, you just go nuts. You know, I didn't know there were so many diseases. And some of the symptoms, I have some of those. And so, you know, everybody has something, you know. And you think, oh, I may have that disease. But there's so many ways, you know, and the little buggers, you know, the little bacteria and viruses, they're always mutating and changing and... new diseases are cropping up, and they try to fight them. So, and that's just not the body; it's also the mind. You know, you can be in perfect health physically, but your mind can be so disturbed that you're in great agony. You know, if your loved one dies, you seem to be fine, but you're not fine anymore. You know, there's a tremendous pain in that. So that's all adiatmic. We know what that means. And then, you know, weather is fine. There's no national disturbances. I'm okay. You know. But no, somebody's not leaving me alone. You know, I have a noisy neighbor. I lived with this guy for 4 years, you know, right next door to my little thin wall in my apartment. And he was on, you know, methamphetamine. He was talking all night. He had this very loud voice. And it was just unbelievable. That's how I started wearing earplugs, and I got the noise-canceling earphones. And, you know, adi-bautic. You know, and it can get much worse. You know, there's wars and everything. Insects, you know, and they're not mutually exclusive. You know, the germs are adiabatic. They come inside and then they cause you adiatmic. You know, so this is life in the material world. Dukkali, and this is Krishna's statement, not mine. It is an abode of misery. So here, but here we find, and that the sadhus and those who take shelter of them can transcend those miseries. The miseries are there, but they don't impinge on you so much. Pallad is a perfect example. He was always fixed. His mind was gone to Krishna. This Madgata Chaitasa, I like this. It's very graphic. Mind is already gone, you know. Completely absorbed. And then he's not aware. You know, he's in the boiling oil, but he's not feeling the heat. You know, he's so absorbed. He's protected by Krishna. So this is the way to navigate through this world. You can't stop the miseries. They're going to come. But how to deal with them, how you react to them, that's in our hand. And by cultivating Krishna consciousness under the instruction of the sadhus or a sadhu, it's the guru and sadhu are close, we can come to this point of enjoying like anything the transcendental pleasure, which doesn't depend, you know, on our age or, you know, or gender or sense or anything. It just depends on your ability to hear and to relish. And that's developed by Krishna consciousness. And this is really how to live in this world successfully. So in a few verses here, he's given his mother the means, the path. And it all begins with association. Once again, just to review, life is really associating with one thing after another. We're in this body, we have the senses, we have the mind, you know, and through the knowledge acquiring senses, so many impressions come. The sight, the hear, most important, the hearing, but the other senses also. So, as described here, Maharaj Ambarish, the great devotee, now he was a king. Kings normally have to be, you know, absorbed in pounds, shilling, pence, and fighting and this and that. Not a peaceful kind of a lifestyle. But this Maharaj Ambarish was a great devotee, and he always he used all of his means, starting with the mind. Savai manak Krishna badara vindayo bachangsi vaikunda gunanavarna. They probably quotes that line. So he absorbed his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna, his words in glorifying Krishna, his ears in hearing, his hands in cleansing the temple, his feet in walking to the temple, his head in bowing down. And ultimately, you know, all the senses are mentioned. And ultimately, his desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And this is really what devotional service is. In that state, he was completely fearless when he was attacked by this fiery demon that Durvasa had invoked by his mystic power. So can you imagine to be so transcendental that you know, you're threatened by a fire coming at you to annihilate you, and you simply accept it as the will of the Lord, completely calm. And of course he was protected, you see. So this is the benefits of full absorption, which comes by association with sadhus. As he mentions here, sadhus are simply absorbed in this, as I gave the example of Prabhupada. You know, the more they're into glorification. And just to continue with the the Krishna Katashtaka, since it's pertinent here. So he goes on, and then he quotes from the first canto, those famous verses from Prabhupada quotes one in his preface, Tad Bhagavasargo Janataga Viplavo, where he's saying that this was an encouraging verse to Prabhupada. These verses were spoken by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva to instruct him on the writing of the Bhagavatam. Narada Muni, you remember, wasn't so satisfied. He had written the Mahabharata, he had written the Vedas, he had written other Puranas, you know, even the Vedanta Sutra he had written, but something was missing. And so he meditates, and Narada Muni comes and he says, yeah, I'll tell you what's missing. You haven't fully glorified Krishna and his devotees and his devotional service. You've been doing too much bridge preaching. In other words, watering down the message to try to bring in a wider audience until finally you forgot what the real message is. So you write something that's simply straightforward, pure, just Krishna's devotees, avatars, devotional service. So in instructing him to do that, he talked about verses of hearing and chanting. So the first one, which is the next verse in the series, is about the pilgrimage of crows. Nayad vachas chitta padang hare yasho jagat pavitram paganita karatit dhar dvangshatirtam nato hangsa sevata yatrachachas tatra hisadavo amala. Do they know this one? A little bit. Got some sages growing up here. So, this is the pilgrimage of crows. Those words, which may be perfectly, you know, very nicely composed, as Shakespeare or whatever, but they don't glorify Krishna. Chitta Padang means very nicely. Hare Yasho Jagat Pavitram. The Lord, whose fame and glorification can purify the whole universe, but these words don't touch on that subject. Those words are a place of pilgrimage for crows. The crows like to go and eat in the garbage dump, and they eat the dirty things. Crows are not the swans, and the crows are birds of a different feather. The swans, you know, hamsa, they're symbols of the devotees. They always try to go to the pure lakes and like that. So the swan-like devotees, they only go where Achyuta is being glorified, where Krishna is being glorified. That's what they want to hear. That's what they want to read. And then the next verse is also quoted. This is the verse Prabhupada took as an inspiration for writing the Bhagavatam, because he knew that his English wasn't perfect. It was his second language. But still, he was determined to write that Bhagavatam. He had gotten the instruction from a spiritual master to preach in English, and he was going to write in English. So this verse, you know, which is most quoted, Tad Bhagavasargo Janataga Samplavo Yasmin Pati Shlokam Abadnavatyapi Namam Ninandasya Yashonkitani Akshinvanti Gayanti Gunanti Sarva. We're back to the sadhus. Sadhus. So he says, those words which do glorify the Lord and which are meant to bring about a revolution in this misdirected civilization. Yasmin Pati Shlokam Abhagavat, even though every verse may be imperfectly composed, as opposed to the very nice material sound vibration, which is beautifully... Now you can extend this. You've got your movies, you've got your stuff, the songs, it's unlimited, that things that are attractive to the mind. But devoid of Krishna consciousness, they're pilgrimage of crows. It means that people become contaminated by just exposing. This is the stark reality. So he says, Naman Yanantasya Yashon Kitani, but does depict, Ankitani means depict, the name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna, then Shunvandi Gayanti Gunanti Sadhava, the sadhus, the learned sages, they hear it, they repeat it, and they accept it as it were. And therefore, Prabhupada says in his preface to the Bhagavatam, therefore I'm confident that even though there may be so many imperfections, those who are of good heart will accept this thing. And by doing that, he came to America. Yes, it was edited by his English professor. I agree, but we met on the street. You can see how Krishna was giving Prabhupada all facility. And then he sent the second string, myself, to help also with the editing. So it became more mishta. In other words, it's good if it can be sweet. And that's why you find the great writings of the acharyas, Rupa Goswami and the others, are the best Sanskrit, the most attractive to the mind, just on the material level. It's like Neetam, Nabandama Neetam, Kainatapitam, Payakwame Murali. You don't find that in English even, those things. But it's also about Krishna. Therefore, it's sweet in all directions, everything. So we just have to make the decision to purify ourselves so we can appreciate it. It's described in the Upadeshamrita. The Upadeshamrita is so wonderful. That's very essential instruction. So in text number 7, he says, Syat Krishna Nama Chaditari Sukirtananu. No, Syat Krishna Nama Chaditari Satapya Vindya Pitto Patapta Rasanaschana Rochikanu Kinvada Radha Nudinam Kurusai Vajusta Swadhi Karma Babaditad Gatamula Hantri. So swadhu is in there, the word swadhu. Now you remember, I think I mentioned how that's the origin of the word sweet. If you look up the word sweet in English and you get the etymology, it goes back to the Hindi, back to the Sanskrit, swadhu. So what he's saying there is that Syat Krishna Nama, the Krishna's holy name, his activities, etc., all descriptions about him, are actually very sweet by nature. But because we are suffering from the bile of ignorance, from the jaundice of ignorance, it tastes bitter to us. Just like if you have jaundice, serious jaundice, you can't taste sugar properly. It may taste bitter. I had a serious case one time. And it's true. Nothing tasted sweet, but isn't it wonderful, says Rupa Goswami in his verse, that if day after day you chant anyway, you get under discipline, vaidhi bhakti. You take shelter of a sadhu. And in other words, you follow a process and you chant, just like we're chanting Hare Krishna. It may not be so sweet sometimes, your mind is wandering, falling asleep. Still chanting, trying to focus. Then, after some time, the bile of ignorance is destroyed, the jaundice is destroyed, and the natural sweetness comes out, and you taste it as sweet as anything. So you have to have this faith. And sometimes we get, intimations of that, just like we put it into poems and song, then that becomes sweeter. And all like the beautiful kirtans that the kids do, I call them kids now because I'm so old, the young men and women, the gurukulis, so to speak, they've developed, the music. It all enhances it. But the real thing is the holy name, You can't sing any song for that long, any cinema song or rock song. I don't care how good but you can chant Hare Krishna for hours. You can see that 24 hours ago. Prabhupada mentions that. Because it's really the holy name that's the sweetest. So that's what he's talking about here. And the benefits are enormous, and he'll continue with those. Now he's going to describe the result. And just to, I know we're going over a little bit, but just to finish our Krishna Katashtaka, because it's very parallel here. So then he talks about how, he also quotes a third verse there from that first canto. Naishkam himapachudabhava vajitam. So he's talking about achyuta here, that so-called impersonal realization that's devoid of knowledge of Krishna's name, form, qualities, doesn't look very well. You know, in other words, impersonal realization is not going to make it. It's not going to withdraw your mind completely from material life. And those material desires will be in there, and eventually they'll come out again. This is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Then he goes on in the last two verses in this Krishna Katashtaka, describe how by all the great effort, Yashakshyam eva padikshamak paro, that great effort of following closely varnashram, devoid of Krishna consciousness, just the formality, you may get some wealth, you may get some fame, you may even go to heavenly planets. But it's all temporary. It's ultimately frustrating. But if you follow this process of cultivating hearing and chanting as a devotee, you'll come to the point of constant remembrance. If you hear and chant Krishna's qualities, you'll get remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And then the last verse, what's that value of constant remembrance? Avismati Krishna Padada Vindayo Chinotya Badhani Chashantanoti Sattvasya Shuddhim Padamatma Bhaktim Jnanam Chabhijnana Viragya Yukti. So this is the final verse. So what do you get for all this effort? Here's the result. Constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, Chinotya Badhani, destroys all inauspicious things, the abhadras in the heart. And Shantanoti. This word Sham is a nice word. You know the word named Shankara for Shiva? Shankara. So Shankara means he who does or creates Sham. Sham is welfare, good fortune for everybody. You see? So Shantanoti means that it spreads good fortune for you and everyone else who's exposed to it. So Shantanoti. But that's not all. Sattvasya Shuddhim. Your existence becomes purified. Your heart, everything. Sattvasya Shuddhim and Paramatma Bhaktim. You get devotion to the Supreme Lord, Paramatma. And finally, which is the bhakti, which is characterized by jnanam, by knowledge, vijnana, realized knowledge, realization, and viraga, a detachment from everything else. So this is a verse of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. We quote. I learned it from the biography. Okay, so that's what we had to say on text 23. If there are any questions, I'll read the translation again. Engage constantly in chanting and hearing about me, says Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Any comments? Rishi? No comments? No questions?
Okay.
Yes, Father.
It's like association, Vani and Vapu, so we say like Vani is more important than Vapu.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know exactly what to say in English for Vani and Vapu.
You know, Vani is words and Vapu is personal, physical association.
Yeah. So, only books and cassettes, we can just listen and we need not to attend personally any programs?
No. When the sadhu is personally present,
yeah,
then you should take all opportunity to render personal service, if possible, and to hear directly. Because it's always more powerful that way. Yeah. You know, it's always more powerful. But when that's not available, which is most of the time, you know, many of the devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, never met him. I think probably most of them never, you know, maybe they saw a darshan at a distance, you know, for a few minutes. Because Prabhupada was always traveling, the movement grew so fast. I was fortunate to have three or four times when I actually saw Prabhupada and once met Prabhupada. But it's very rare, you know, to render devotee, you know, personal service, laundry, cooking, you know, I remember I was just a bhakta, and my service every morning was cutting up the fruit for the 7:30 offering, or the, you know, that offering. I was cutting up. And then finally Prabhupada came there, and it was Harikesh. He said, now your cutting up of fruit is going to be perfect. You cut up fruit for Prabhupada. You know, for his, like, okay, cut the fruit, arrange it nicely. I think he gave me an orange peel that I got to, you know, the Prabhupada eat. So that's, you know, that's special mercy. You know, there's no question about it. So no, we should never neglect when the spiritual master or sadhus are there to do personal service, because that establishes a relationship and it opens up. What it does also is make you more receptive to the message, because there's some personal thing going on, you know. Just like Narada, you know, he didn't just sit there and listen, but he also did service. He gave the fruit, you know, and he was serving them. So they showed favor to him, you know, by letting him take the prasad, and you know. So it's an important aspect. So Vani and Vapu, they're both important, but the Vani is more important because you can always have the Vani. You know, you can remember and repeat. And of course now we have, you know, the wonderful thing about this age, like everything, it's a two-edged sword, you know. Kali Yuga, you know, short-lived, misguided, always disturbed. It's obviously not a very good age for yoga practice, you know, although there's so many yogis practicing, but you know, they don't really get the essence of it. But on the other side, well, it even says in the Bhagavatam, you know, because of Lord Chaitanya's movement, Kaling Sabhajayam Dhyaya Guna Gyasara Bhaginaha Yatra Sankirane Maya Sarva Svarto Vilabhyate, that this Kali Yuga, this is a rare Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya just appeared right after Krishna, a few, you know, thousand years later, which is nothing. And therefore, those who really know, it says, Guna Gya, those who understand the qualities of things, and Sara Bhagin, here's that word Sara again, who understand the essence of things, they worship this Kali Yuga. Kaliyam Sabhajayam Dhyaya. Because in this age, Yatra Sankirtanam, just by Sankirtan of the holy name, Sarva Svarta Vilabhyate, all of your swartas, the goal of the soul, you know, is actually attained. So in this age, now we have, you know, there's the internet with all of the garbage on it, the pilgrimage of crows, but there's also a tremendous facility for hearing. You know, just the publication of books, you know, that was revolutionary. I mean, you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're copying the manuscripts by hand, you know, and then how many copies can you really make? You know, it takes months to copy the CC, right? On the other hand, they had much, you know, clearer minds, and they could remember and repeat better than we can, because it was always disturbed. But we have the books, that's the technology, but to speak of the internet, the iPod, you know, the Iskand Desire Tree. We have so much opportunity for association. But we need to focus. That's the part we have to choose this and not that. And that's all Vani, you know, the great souls. And it's purifying. So, yes, Vapu, when Vapu is available, take advantage. Because with Vapu, you'll also get Vani, you know. But with but Vani is steady and eternal. Vapu is very temporal. Any other question? Yes, Nisha.
Is there also some kind of preference between hearing and reading? Is it more beneficial?
Hearing is preferred. That's why I quoted so many, you know. But that's not always possible. You know, reading is also good. It's really hearing in your mind. You know, when you're reading, I don't know about you, but I hear my own voice speaking. Or, you know. So reading, silent reading is good. Reading out loud is better. Reading with another person is really good. You know, you're reading, they're hearing, and they're reading, you're hearing, you're discussing a little bit. That's really nice. But yeah, we have to make these books come alive for us. You know, this is what these classes are all about, you know, the hearing, the chanting, and then illustrating, you know, and then living. this is our shelter. But certainly, you know, silent reading, one of the advantages of silent reading, you can go much faster. You know, you can skim over some things sometimes, you know, that you've read before. And like I like to sometimes read a whole chapter, just the translations to get an idea of what's going on, then go back, chant a few verses, see the most prominent verses, read some purports, you know. So, one way or another, whatever works. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.